This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are going to just wait another minute, inshallah, for people to log in. Also give it a minute for me to get this Instagram started. I'm just having an issue on this last account. Inshallah, hope everyone is doing well. Hope that you managed to attend the previous sessions. And I was thinking earlier today how, with the weather being not so great outside and it was raining earlier, I was thinking how, at least with technology, we can still continue our classes. And then I thought earlier today, I was thinking about that earlier today, and I was like, when the internet cuts off, then we can't continue our classes anyways. So it doesn't really make a difference, right? And that's kind of interesting because I was thinking to myself, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to do things in person, and then we figure we can outdo it by doing things virtually. And then when we do things virtually, we think that we're invincible, but Allah reminds us that we aren't, and that He can make the power go off. And that was the case in my office. The electricity kept shutting off this afternoon, and that's why I decided to come home and live stream from home today, so that hopefully the internet doesn't cut off over here, or the electricity doesn't go off, and then we can continue on with our class. So we'll get right to it, inshallah ta'ala. Today we're going to be covering the burial. So we're continuing with the chapter of the funeral prayer, but we're not talking about the actual prayer now. We're talking about the burial process. Okay, so different things related to it. And we have an interesting hadith that we're going to look at, which is fairly lengthy. It's about 2 pages long, and we'll go through that hadith, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walaha ma ba'd. So the burial, it's an obligation to bury the deceased person. Within Islam, it's an obligation for us to make sure that we bury the person who passed away, okay? Even if that person were a disbeliever, we still have to bury them. As we see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ali radiallahu an, why did this? That's weird. Just lost an entire connection. I'll just continue and get it started as I go. So as we see in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali radiallahu an was told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Abu Talib had passed away, go and bury him. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ali radiallahu an to go and to bury his father, right, Abu Talib. And he was a disbeliever. So that is evidence that within Islam, even for non-believers, we take it upon ourselves to bury them when they pass away. The sunnah is to bury the dead in a graveyard. Okay, so the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just confirm with me here on this Instagram account if you guys can hear me. The video paused, but is it back on? Just let me know, Sister Munazza. I know the tornado stressed out the internet. That's why I'm live streaming from home and not the mustard, because the electricity kept turning off. But just let me know on Instagram here if you guys are able to see me and hear me, or do you want me to restart the connection? Hopefully you can hear. Getting back on? Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullahu khairan. So for those that missed out, very quickly, we're covering the burial process, and it's an obligation within Islam to bury the deceased person that passes away, whether the person is Muslim or not. And that is seen in the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling Ali radiallahu an to go and bury his father who had passed away. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, go and bury him. And that was the father of Ali radiallahu an, also the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib. Okay. The sunnah is to bury the dead in a graveyard, as we typically know and we commonly know. So it's sunnah to bury someone in the graveyard. And the only exception to this really is For those who, well, first of all, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was not buried in the graveyard. And that's because at the time of the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying something that I did not forget. He said, Allah does not take the soul of a prophet except at the place in which he loves to be buried. Okay, so Allah does not take the soul of a prophet except in the place in which he loves for that prophet to be buried. And we know that the prophets are to be buried in the place that they die, wherever they pass away. So wherever the soul is taken from the prophet, alayhim as-salam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that they are to be buried there in that place. So that's one exception. The burial of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself took place in his home. So he was buried in his home. The other exception is for the shuhada. Those sahaba, for example, who passed away during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or during a battle. Okay. So another exception to the general rule of burying the deceased person in a cemetery is the case of the martyrs, those who die in battle. They are to be buried at the place of their martyrdom, wherever they passed away, wherever they were martyred. And we know that a martyr is not someone who died, right? We see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't say about those, وَلَا تَقُولُوا, I just went blank, right? Don't say about those who were martyred in battle, لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ. Don't say that they are dead, right? That they died. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ. Rather, they are alive, right? وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. But you just don't know it. You don't feel it, right? For us as believers, you know, we are not able to really acknowledge that or understand it because we see the body to be dead and they themselves as well are in a different realm, right? And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, to shower his blessings and mercy upon those who lost their lives with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the exception that we're looking at now is that those who passed away on the battlefield or were martyred, they are to be buried where they were martyred as well. And that comes from the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anh, where he said on the day of Uhud, those that were killed were being taken to be buried in the Baqir. Right, they were being taken to the Baqir in Medina. And this is, of course, Uhud. Uhud is like just down the street from the Baqir. So he says, Jabir radiallahu anhu says, on the day of Uhud, those that were martyred were being taken to be buried in the Baqir cemetery. Then the announcer of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proclaimed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders you to bury the deceased at their places. Right, so those that passed away in the battle, they were ordered, the Sahaba were ordered to bury them where they passed away on the battlefield. And that's why nowadays when you go to Medina, usually we make a trip to Mount Uhud, right? And we stand before the graves of Hamza radiallahu anhu and some of the other Sahaba that are buried there who lost their lives during the battle of Uhud. The next part of the chapter that we're going to look at is that it is not permissible to bury the deceased during the following times, except due to a necessity. Okay, so there are certain times that we are not permitted to bury the deceased, except during times that may be a necessity, right? We actually don't have a choice. The first one is one that we looked at last week, and that is the timing that it is discouraged to actually pray salah. So the time of sunrise, while the sun is rising, crossing the horizon, until once it's completely past the horizon, that's a time when it is not permitted or discouraged from burying those that had passed away. The second time is the time of zawal, when the sun is at its peak, right, the zenith, right above us. until the sun has crossed over that and the time for Dhuhr has entered. Okay, so that time that it takes to cross the peak. And the third time is the time in the evening, and I'm just rushing through it because we covered it last week, the time where the sun is setting, right? Just before Maghrib, as the sun is crossing under the horizon and disappearing until the sun has completely disappeared. Okay, during those three times, that is the first point here, that it is not permissible to bury the deceased during those times. The second time that we learn that it's not permissible, so that first point is actually three times, right? Those are three times dealing with the position of the sun. The second is, Jabir radiallahu anhu said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a man from among his companions who had died, been wrapped in shroud not long enough to cover his body, and was buried during the night. So in the middle of the night, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded the people for burying the man during the night, such that he was not able to perform the prayer for him. And this should only be done when it is a necessity. So Jabir radiallahu anhu says that it should only be done when it's a necessity. So basically what happened here is someone had passed away in the middle of the night, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum took it upon themselves to shroud him, to wash his body, to shroud him and to bury him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not happy with that, and that was because he himself was not able to take part in the janazah and to fulfill that part of the rite of the person who passed away. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that it should only be something that is done out of necessity. Okay. If someone is forced to bury someone at night, though, right, you have no choice. You have to bury them at night for whatever reason, then it is permissible, right? So what is mentioned here is that it shouldn't be done at a time in the night when people aren't aware of it. And that's because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put a man into his grave at night, and he lit lamps in the grave. Okay, so if a person is absolutely in need of burying someone in the night, then it is permissible to do so. But we should light the graves, right? We should light the area in the cemetery and make sure that people can, see what they're doing and take part in the burial in a way that is lit up at night. Okay, I'm just going to quickly plug this in. Here we go. So it is permissible, even if a person has to use lamps and put lamps into the grave, into the bottom of the grave, to make it easier to bury the person. And we see that being done today, even in Madinatul Munawwara. After Salatul Isha, sometimes there are janazah that take place. So it's not done in the middle of the night. It's done immediately after Salatul Isha. And then after that, if anyone passes away, usually we delay until Fajr. And then we have the janazah after Fajr, when people are able to attend the janazah prayer and they're able to follow the janazah and to actually take part in the burial. It is a must to make the grave deep, wide, and excellent, as in prepare a nice grave for the person or people who passed away, who we are going to bury. Hisham ibn Amir said, during the day of Uhud, some Muslims died and others were wounded. We said, O Messenger of Allah, it is difficult for us to build proper graves for each person. What shall we do? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied and said, dig, making them wide, deep, and excellent, as in perfect, not just like this ugly, you know, the walls go down. No, make it nice, clean, finish it off properly. Okay, so dig, making them wide, deep, and excellent. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to say, bury two and three in one grave. Okay, bury two and three in one grave. Okay, two and three in one grave. Put the one who knew the most Quran ahead. So the first to go in will be the one who knew the most Quran. my father, and now the narrator continues and says, my father was the third of three in a grave, but he knew the most Quran, so they put him ahead, right? So they basically will, if you have three people here, they will move this one up a little bit, okay? Kind of like an imam, okay? So they put him ahead. It is permissible to make the grave a vertical hole straight down, and it is also permissible to make the grave a hole with a niche. So you can make it a grave straight down, okay, with the bottom. If I had a box, I was thinking of maybe cutting a box to show this. But if you basically make a grave straight down like this, okay, so you dig a grave like that, and that's one way that's permissible. So you make a deep grave like that, or you dig a grave like this, and then on the sides you dig a niche, okay, on this side and another one on the other side. Okay, you dig a box out on the side, or a space on the side, and then the body is placed on one side and another body is placed on the other side. So it's permissible to make the grave a vertical hole straight down, and it is also permissible to make the grave a hole with a niche cut out at the bottom to the side of the hole. Both practices existed during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they still do today in Medina. That's actually how they bury the bodies in Medina. Every grave that you see dug has two sides to it, right? So there's someone buried here and someone buried there. That's how they do the graves in the Baqi', Jannatul Baqi', in Madinatul Munawwara. Both practices existed during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the latter is considered preferable. And we see Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died in Medina, there was a man who dug graves with a niche to the side and another man who dug graves straight down. The companions radiallahu anhum, they said, let's ask our Lord for guidance. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, right? So they sent for both of the men who dug graves, and they said, whichever one comes first is the one that we are going to choose. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was buried in a grave that has a niche tucked to the side of the grave. Okay, that's how the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. The accepted practice is for the men to lower the body into the grave, even if the deceased person is a woman. So Islamically, even if the person who passed away is a woman, the accepted practice is to lower that body into the grave being conducted or by the men themselves. As this was the practice during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this has been the continual practice of the Muslims even up until today. The relatives of the deceased person have the most right to place the deceased into the grave. This point is based on the generality of the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, where Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. And blood relatives and blood relations among each other have closer personal ties in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Oh, my wife just told me that my parents are watching today. Alhamdulillah. So my wife always tells me to, you know, mention that my parents are watching. And when I mention that my parents are watching, they get upset with me. Why do you have to tell people that we're watching? Alhamdulillah. It's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have your parents attend your classes, right? Usually it's the other way around. The parents are always telling the children what to do. And now here you have the child telling the parents what to do. Alhamdulillah. So we continue. Furthermore, Ali radiallahu anhu narrated, I washed the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we took this hadith last week, right? Or this narration, we took it last week. Ali radiallahu anhu, he says that he washed the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I went to him and I expected to find what one normally sees among the dead, but I did not find any such thing. What he means there is that typically when you go to wash the body of someone who passed away, you would see signs of the body, you know, slowly decaying, right? Like, of course, it's the desert. You have to keep in mind, they didn't have these fridges like we have, we keep a body for a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months. And, you know, people put makeup on it and everything. And subhanAllah, the body looks like it, you know, it was just alive 5 minutes ago. No, in the desert, the body starts to decay very, very fast. Remember, it's very hot, extremely hot. And they have no fridge to store the body. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged that the body is buried quickly. And so Ali radiallahu anhu says he went to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was washing his body, and he did not find his body to be like others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was good in appearance, both alive and dead. So his body was like pure, being preserved. Only four people took part in lowering him and burying him. So only four people took part in placing his body into the grave. And he says, Ali, Al-Abbas, Al-Fadl, and Salih, who was the ex-slave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A niche was dug. So Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he continues to say, he says, a niche was dug for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and bricks were placed next to him. So it basically is, I'm going to try and do this, inshallah. So it's a, you know, the grave is dug, okay? Let's just use black here, black and black. Okay, so the grave is dug down, if you could see that. And then there's a niche under the ground to each side, okay, that comes out to each side. And so you would place one body here, and you close this part, the main part of the grave, by placing bricks in there, okay, by placing bricks into the bottom of the grave. So you dig the grave down, and then you dig a slot to the side. And then when you put the body in there, you put bricks afterwards to close it up. And then you fill the grave with dirt. So the body is basically sitting in a chamber. So it's inside a chamber under the ground. Okay, there's no dirt. There's no physical dirt piling up onto the body. Okay, it's in a physical chamber open. We move on. It is permissible for the husband to fulfill the role of placing his wife in the grave. So it's permissible for the husband to fulfill the role of placing his wife into the grave. This is based on the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to me on the day that his illness began and said, oh, my head, right? He was complaining about a headache, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he replied, I wish that, and he's referring to death, right? He says, I wish that would come to you while I am alive, for then I would prepare you and bury you. So he says to Aisha radiallahu anha, I wish the day that you pass away comes before mine, because then I could prepare your body and bury you. And that's evidence and proof that as nice as it is to hear that statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's used as proof and evidence that it is permissible for a husband to bury the body of his wife, right? And some people will ask this question. I know some of us are like, well, yeah, obviously it is, but people would ask regardless. Okay, the sunnah is to enter the body head first from the end of the grave where the feet will be, okay? So for example, you know, this is the top of the grave, and the head is going to be here. This is the right side, facing the Qibla that way, and the feet are going to be here. So the head is here, and the feet are here. So you bring the body this way, and you enter it into the grave like that, okay? Now, in our time, if it's going to be lowered, that's what you do. You would bring the body like this, head first, and pass it over the grave like that, and then it's lowered into the grave. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even now in Medina to Munawwara, they don't have the electronic, you know, thing or the mechanism that you spin and it lowers with belts the body down into the ground, okay? They don't use that. They basically just take the body in the shroud, right? And the body is, you know, it sort of moves a little bit, stiff, but still moves a little bit. They take the body and they lower the head first into the grave and then the feet afterwards. Okay, and if they're putting it in the chamber, then they will put the head in first and then the feet. Okay, I hope that makes sense. Abu Ishaq said Al-Harith asked that Abdullah ibn Yazid perform the prayer for him. He did so and then entered the body from the end of the grave where the feet would eventually be placed. He then said, this is the sunnah, right? So he did that and then he informed the others that this is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The deceased is placed in the grave on his right side. Okay, so a person who passes away will be on their right side. Okay, of course, your arm is not going to be up, the arm will be down, but they will lay on their right side. With his face directed towards the Qibla, so they will be laying down on their right side with their face towards the Qibla. His head and legs, therefore, will be perpendicular to the Qibla. Okay, so the Qibla is this way and the body will be this way. Okay, with the head here and the feet in the back. So on your right side, facing the Qibla that way. Not with our heads pointing in the direction of Qibla, right? So it's like if you're standing in the masjid and you're facing the Qibla, right? You would not lay down and put your head facing the Qibla. You would lay sideways across the saf with your head facing the direction of the Qibla. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would put the deceased into the grave, he would say, Bismillah wa ala sunnati Rasulillah. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be putting a body or placing someone into the grave, he would say, Bismillah wa ala sunnati Rasulillah. Bismillah wa ala sunnati Rasulillah. Okay? In the name of Allah and upon the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. In the name of Allah and upon the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Very simple. Bismillah wa ala sunnati Rasulillah. It is recommended for the one at the gravesite, so for those who are there at the gravesite, to throw three handfuls of dirt with both hands over the grave after the bricks have been placed in place. If that's the grave of a niche, right? If you're going to be making the grave that has the niche to the side, or the chamber to the side, then you know you basically would throw three handfuls in. And we see this in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, where he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed over a funeral, so prayed the janazah prayer, and then came and threw three handfuls of soil towards the head of the deceased. As in, the body was down in the chamber, the bricks were put in place, and then the Prophet ﷺ took three handfuls of soil and placed it into the grave. And then, of course, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum followed and did the same. And this is why it's encouraged to do that. Nowadays, you find that a lot of people will have a shovel, so they'll take a shovel and throw three shovels in. Remember, for us, because we usually dig a grave down, right, and just put the body into the grave, it's preferred not to take the dirt and throw it right on top of the body. So put the dirt around the body or around the coffin. And when it builds up higher on the sides, it will slowly start to cave in and cover the top of the body. So we even take precaution and respect the body even when it's in the ground, even though the soul isn't in it at that point in time. Once we bury it, the soul is returned immediately, and we'll see that in a minute or two, inshallah. The following are sunan acts after burying the deceased. So after we bury the deceased, there's a few things that are from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First is that the grave should be elevated from the earth about a handspan. Okay, so when we say handspan, sometimes it's an actual hand and sometimes it is more, right? In the sunnah, we see an arm's length, right? The handspan. Regardless, the grave should be elevated from the ground a little bit, okay? This is so that it can be respected and no one disrespects the grave. So it's basically identifying the position of the grave, that someone is there. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet's grave was made with a niche in it. Bricks were then erected behind his body because he's facing the Qibla, and so the bricks were placed behind him. And his grave was raised about a handspan above the earth. So the first thing is that the grave should be raised a little bit higher than the rest of the ground. Secondly, is very similar to the first one. Sufyan al-Tamir said, I saw the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and it was mounded. Okay, it was mounded. So it was raised, but it was mounded. It was round like that. Thirdly, the grave should be marked by a stone, a rock, or something of that nature, right? There should be something that identifies that there is a grave there. Okay, it doesn't necessarily need to have the name of the person, but it should be something that identifies there's a grave there. And usually if it's a rock, the person who buries the person there or whoever's there and places a rock on top will recognize this rock, right? They usually, like every rock has a different shape, right? So they usually recognize it. And if nowadays, you know, a plaque is placed there to identify that there's a grave here and identify who's in the grave, then that's okay as well. And this is so that the other family members may be buried in the same area in the future when they pass away. Al-Muttalib ibn Abi Wada'a said, when Uthman ibn Mad'un died, he was taken to his grave and buried. The Prophet ﷺ ordered a man to bring a rock. He was not able to carry it, so the Messenger of Allah ﷺ rolled up his sleeves. He uncovered his forearms, is what he said. He uncovered his forearms. He rolled up his sleeves. Al-Muttalib said, the one who narrated this to me from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is as if I can now see the whiteness of his forearms of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he uncovered them. So he's describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that he remembers the whiteness of his forearms when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uncovered his arms or rolled up his sleeves to help carry that rock. Al-Muttalib continued saying, the Prophet ﷺ carried it and placed it at the head of the deceased person. So he placed it above the grave where the head is. He then said, by this, I mark the grave of my brother and shall bury there whoever dies of his family. So the Prophet ﷺ marked his grave and would, you know, suggested the burial of other family members to be near him, right? So even after a person passes away, it's good to bury people close to their other family members. The fourth thing that is from the sunnah in burying the deceased person or after burying the deceased person is that one should stand at the grave and supplicate for the deceased, asking him to be kept firm in his faith and to be forgiven. And he should also tell those that are there, right? It's actually from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell the people that are there at the cemetery to do the same thing. Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu said, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would finish the burying of a deceased person, he would stand at the grave and say, seek refuge for your brother and ask for him to be made firm, for he is now being questioned. He is now being questioned. It is also permissible to sit at the grave during the burial in order to remind those who are present of death. So if it reminds you of death, then it's permissible to do that. It's not sitting there worshiping the grave or worshiping the person that's in the grave. And this point is substantiated by the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, where he says, we went with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the funeral. And this is a lengthy hadith, so bear with me. It is 1, 2, 3 and a half pages long. Okay, so it's 3.5 pages long, and this is what we're ending with. Okay, we will end with this hadith, inshallah ta'ala. But it explains a lot of things, and it's very important, very touching as well. So pay attention to this hadith, inshallah. So Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, he says, we went with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the funeral of one of the Ansar. We reached the grave, and when the niche was dug, so the grave is dug and the chamber inside is dug, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat, and we sat around him, silent, as if birds were upon our heads. He had a stick with which he was poking the ground. So just to, you know, reenact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is at the grave, right? He kneels down and he has with him a stick and he's doing this on the ground. You know, he's just moving the dirt, poking it around, but he's in deep thought. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is thinking. He's thinking that this is the grave, and this is where we are going, and this is where we will all return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on and so forth. Okay, so I'll go back one sentence. He had a stick with him, which he was poking the ground. Then he raised his head and he said, "Seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the grave." He said that twice or three times. Then he said, "When the believing servant is about to depart from this world and enter into the hereafter, angels descend to him from the heaven." From the heaven. Remember, the Prophet ﷺ is saying this to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that are around him while kneeling at a grave that was just dug in order to bury someone. Okay, so no one was buried in the grave yet. The grave was empty. So it's just reminding the Sahaba, reminding themselves of the shortness of this life, right? How short this life actually is. So here the Prophet ﷺ says, "When the believing servant is about to depart from this world and enter into the hereafter, angels descend to him from the heaven, their faces white like the sun," as in glowing with nur. Okay, it doesn't mean white or black, white man, black man. Okay, don't think race, think glow, think light, think, you know, the opposite of gloomy. Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Angels descend to him from the heaven, their faces white like the sun. They have with them a shroud from the shrouds of paradise and embalming fluid from the fragrance of paradise. They sit away from him at the extent of his eyesight." This is right before a person passes away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining to the Sahaba what happens at death. Okay? So he says that the angels come, they sit there and they have, you know, the shroud, and they have this fluid like itr, perfume, to put on the body. And this is the shroud from paradise and the perfume from paradise. "Then the angel of death approaches until he sits near the head or at the head of the person. He then says, 'O pure soul, come out to forgiveness from your Lord and his pleasure.'" So come out of the body to the pleasure of Allah and to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Then the soul comes out like water dropping from the opening of a water skin." You know, when you take a bottle of water and you pour it out, what happens? The water just comes out. So that's describing how easy the soul comes out. It just flows out of the body. He says, "Then the soul comes out like water dropping from the opening of a water skin. The angel of death then takes it, and from that soul comes out..." Oh, sorry, I missed a sentence. "When he takes it, it does not remain in his hands for the blinking of an eye, but he immediately puts it into that shroud and fragrance." So as the soul leaves, it comes out within a split second. The angel of death has it, places it into the shroud, it's wrapped, and it is, you know, fragranced, right? It's perfumed. "And from that soul comes out the best smell, like the best smelling musk of this world. They then ascend with the soul." They take the soul up. "They do not pass by any gathering of angels except that they would say, 'What is this beautiful soul?'" So they would ask, "What is this beautiful soul?" They will say, "It is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so," calling him by the best names that he was called in this world. "When they reach the lowest heaven," as in the lowest sky, remember there's sab'a samawat, seven skies, right? He says, "When they reach the lowest sky, they ask for it to be opened, and the gates are opened for them. The most exalted angels of each level escort him up to the next level until he reaches the seventh heaven." So he's going up from the first sky to the second sky to the third sky to the fourth to the fifth. And each way, there's permission that's being sought to take that soul higher. The gates are opened. The soul travels higher in the presence of those angels. And then at that level, permission is sought again. The angels from that level will take the soul higher to the next level. Then permission is sought. And the angels from that level take it up to the third level, and so on and so forth, all the way to the seventh, right? The Prophet ﷺ says, the most exalted angels of each level escort him to the next level until he reaches the seventh heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say, write my servant's record in the illiyin and return him to earth, for from it I created them. Into it I send them back, and from it I shall resurrect them again. Then his soul is placed once again into his body. Two angels come and sit next to him. They say to him, who is your Lord? So now the soul was up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, write their name in, or write their record in illiyin. Have it documented, saved in the hard drive, right? And then return the soul to the body. So in that time is when the janaza, when the ghusl, the shrouding, the janaza, and the burial takes place. And so it goes quick, right? And then the soul is placed back into the body. Two angels come and sit next to him. They say to him, now the soul is in the body in the grave. And the people just buried the body and just covered it up with the dirt. And they're still there. They're still there standing at the top of the grave, but the angels are already in the ground, now beginning the questioning. They say to him, who is your Lord? He says, my Lord is Allah. They then say to him, what is your religion? He will say, my religion is Islam. Then they say to him, who is that man who was sent among you? He will say, he is the messenger of Allah. They will say, what is your knowledge? He will say, I read the book of Allah, believed in it, and affirmed what is said. A caller then calls from the heaven. So when those questions are done, an angel or a caller, right, from the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call down from the heavens. A caller then calls from the sky. My servant has verily told the truth. This is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming to the angels. My servant has verily told the truth. So provide him with, listen to this, provide him with furnishing from paradise. You left your IKEA sofa, your IKEA bed, your IKEA desk, your IKEA chair, right? You left all of that for what? For a bed in the grave from paradise, shrouding from paradise, perfume from paradise, right? Look at that. So provide him with furnishing from paradise, clothe him from paradise, and open for him a door to paradise. Allahu Akbar. He is then brought its scent and fragrance. So the scent of paradise is brought to that person in the grave. His grave is then expanded as far as his vision can see. Then a man with a beautiful face, excellent clothing, and fine scent comes to him. He says, have glad tidings of that which will make you happy. For this is the day that you were promised. The deceased will say to him, who are you? Your face is like that which comes with goodness, right? He will question, who are you? Your face, it looks like you're bringing some good news to me. He will reply, I am your righteous deeds. Subhanallah. Our deeds will be the communicator to us. He will reply and say, I am your righteous deeds. The deceased will then say, my Lord, establish the hour so that I may return to my family and property. So the deceased person, the soul, will say to Allah, Make the day of judgment come quickly so that I can return and be happy with my family and my property. What is their property? Jannah. Our property is not in this dunya. We're not going to return to the IKEA chair after having a bed from paradise, right? We're not going to return. We are going to have our property from paradise. My Lord, establish the hour so that I may return to my family and property. But when the disbelieving slave is about to depart, so that was the believer. Now the Prophet ﷺ is talking about the disbeliever. He says, but when the disbelieving slave is about to depart from this world and enter into the hereafter, angels with dark faces descend to him from the heaven. Okay, so there's no nur, there's no glow. It's like this evil look, okay? They have with them rough fabric. They sit away from him at the extent of his eyesight. They don't even come close to him. They sit far away so that your eyes can see, but they're not next to you. They don't want to be near you. Then the angel of death approaches until he sits at his head. He then says, O evil soul, come out to wrath and anger from your Lord. And when the soul hears that, it gets scared. It becomes frightened. And listen to what the Prophet ﷺ says. He then says, the angel of death says, O evil soul, come out to the wrath and anger from your Lord. The Prophet ﷺ says, and it spreads throughout the body, but it is taken out like a skewer is pulled through wet wool. SubhanAllah. You know, like you get something stuck in a sponge and you're trying to pull it out, right? Like there's something stuck in there and you're trying to rip it out. It's hard to get out. It's like ripping something out of something being stuck in, because the soul gets so scared, it basically spreads out throughout the whole body. It doesn't want to come out. And the angel of death has it ripped out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has it ripped out of the body. It is then taken, and as soon as it is taken, it is not in their hands for the blinking of an eye, but it is placed in that rough fabric. From this soul comes the worst scent one can find on the earth. He is then taken up, and whenever they pass by any angels, they say, who is this evil soul? They will answer, it is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. And they will call him by the worst names that he was known by in this world. This will continue until they reach the lowest heaven. They will ask for permission to enter it, and it will not be granted. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا عَنْهَا لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَلَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى يَلِجَ الْجَمَلُ فِي سَمِّ الْخِيَاطِ. He recited verse number 40 of Surah Al-A'raf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily those who deny our signs and treat them with arrogance, for them the gates of heaven will not be opened, and they will not enter paradise until the camel goes through the eye of the needle, which is impossible. A camel, sometimes we have difficulty getting a thread through the needle, right? You know, the hole in the needle, and you're trying to get the thread through it. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, until you get a camel to get through that hole of the needle, impossible. They will never, ever enter into paradise. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then continued, Allah will then say, write my servant's record in the sijjin. Remember, Allah calls them his servant, because they were supposed to be the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Write my servant's record in the sijjin. He will then be thrust with great force. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then recited verse number 31 of Surah Al-Hajj, and I'll just read it in English because I'm getting late. It's getting close to Maghrib time. He recited verse number 31 of Surah Al-Hajj. Whoever assigns partners to Allah, It is as if he had fallen from the sky, and the birds had snatched him, or the wind had thrown him to a far off place. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued. He says, return his soul to his body, right? So it will be commanded by Allah, return his soul to his body. Two angels come and sit next to him. Now the soul is at the in the body of the disbelieving person, and the angels come and question him or her in the grave. They sit next to him. They say to him, who is your Lord? He says, I do not know. They then say to him, what is your religion? He will say, I do not know. Then they say to him, what is that? Who is that man who was sent among you? He will say, I do not know. A caller then calls from the heaven. He lies. So provide him with furnishing from hell and open for him a door to hell. He is then brought its heat and hot wind. His grave is then so constricted that his ribs are broken. Then a man with an ugly face, terrible clothing, and foul scent comes. He says, have tidings of that which will make you unhappy. For this is the day that you were promised. The deceased will say to him, who are you? Your face is like that which comes with evil. He will reply, I am your evil deeds. The deceased will say, do not let that hour be established. Do not bring, the disbeliever will call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the grave and say, do not let the day of judgment come. And there's another narration that mentions something else, but we'll suffice with that. That's the end of this hadith. And there's another narration that continues on longer, but this is where I wanted to stop. That's all the time that we have for today. I hope that this was a beneficial, session for all of us. That hadith was fairly long, but really explains a lot of things to us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless every single one of us with the ability to learn the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this deen, Islam, and the Quran. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his blessings and mercy and forgiveness upon us. Ameen. Jazakum Allahu khayran wa barakallahu feekum. Forgive me for not having a Q&A session today, for it is just about the time for the adhan for Maghrib, and I'm going to head to the masjid. Jazakum Allahu khayran wa barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaykum.